We are going into the fifth industrial revolution. You cannot be a millennial and you don't have a digital footprint. Yeah.
Yes, guys, it is the Power Talks with Suna, Ronald, myself. This is a podcast that aims to bring conversations about digital and media business on a record where thought leaders guide and help us to understand the market needs, which will shape the industry for the very best at global standards. Myself and the team have created this show not only because we have history in professional digital marketing for brands, but we felt a call to action to share knowledge with industry players that this would be the right thing to provide solutions to aspiring entrepreneurs in the digital landscape. Today is quite a very special yet another day. I have so many special days because all my guests are really, really special to me. It's a lady that I met, I think it was coming to the close of last year, and I meet her at Innovation Village. But the more I get to know her and the things that she does, I get so overwhelmed. The transformation she's doing when it comes to upskilling individuals, guys, who are wanting to have digital skills, especially for the fact that you all know, like, I'm into like digital marketing. She is a person that is always behind such engines. And ladies and gentlemen, allow me introduce to you Joy Atenyo. I think I've got the pronunciation right for your name, right?
I'm not really sure, but you really tried and it's okay. Life is a struggle.
Please correct me.
Yeah, so my name is Joy Atenyo.
Atenyo Otieno.
Yes.
Which region are you coming from in Uganda?
I come from Northern, definitely.
Northern,
yeah,
okay.
But I'm not a rebel.
No, of course. You're quite, your accent though, I'm very keen with accents. You come off like as if you're coming from West Africa, and also like as if you're a Kenyan, something like that.
Yeah. So I've grown up all my life, almost my young life in Kenya, and then I transitioned now to Uganda to start working. So that's where my accent comes from.
Okay.
I think it's very Kenyan. I literally, it sounds South African, kind of.
Yeah, also, like, it's not Ugandan. Ugandan. When the person listens to you speak critically,
true.
It's not Ugandan.
Yeah.
But good to have you.
Thank you.
How was your day?
My day has been crazy. I'm seated here and I'm replying to emails. I'm trying to coordinate. I'm like, it's crazy, but I like it that way.
Yeah, you came with a mask on, really protective. Like, I haven't yet wore the transparent shield.
Yeah, it's a face shield.
But yes, I haven't yet put it on.
You should try it. No. They're not supposed to be shared. I think you have COVID.
Anyway, tonight, I wanted, first of all, when I was thinking to have a podcast where we can talk about employment opportunities, especially that we are in an era where there is so much going on during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Pandemic. Mm. And we're seeing a lot of culture changes in the employment space.
Yeah.
We're seeing a lot of people changing their routines from being present to taking it like online, and it's affecting the whole industry.
Yeah.
And you, as an individual, who is always behind such projects, how is the shift going on in your, especially your team?
So
in your work ethic, your work life.
Yeah. So I'd like to just speak from a broad perspective. People keep on saying the new normal. So I don't really understand what the new normal is. Like, there's a normal and there's a new normal.
Yes.
For me, it's just like life is transitioning.
Yes.
You understand? The way we did things before may not be possible. And I know people are waiting for normalcy to come back.
Yes.
You know, there are people who are holding out hope that, you know, let me close down my hustle, whatever I do, until normalcy comes back. But there is nothing like normalcy coming back.
Take us through your project before you get anywhere further. It's called Upskill Program.
Yeah. So I do like a lot of things.
Okay.
I wear so many hats. All so right. I don't know which hat you want me to wear.
I'm familiar with Upskill, but I see you recently. I was on Google Africa on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing they are retweeting you on Google Africa about the digital skill project. And I'm like, wait a minute. We have a Ugandan doing amazing things still in the area that I'm into.
Yeah.
So I know that part.
Yeah.
And I know you're residing at Innovation Village, right? That's where you operate from.
Yeah.
You're the lead of the project, right?
Yeah. So, I was leading Upskill.
Okay.
Then the Google Digital Skills opportunity came in, and then I transitioned.
To Google?
Yeah. So right now I'm fully with Google. So there is Google, and then there's Google.org.
Okay.
So Google, the enterprise, bit clean cut, profit making, you know, business side of it. And yes. then there's Google.org, which is like the foundation side that now runs like the Google Digital Skills for Africa.
Pause there. How do you get there, first of all? No one just wakes up in the morning yeah. and you're working with Google.
So I don't even know how to say it. People keep on asking me those questions like, Joy, how do you just jump from one opportunity to the exactly. other? Like, you're just transitioning from this one to this one to this one to this one. Same. For me, it just comes down to being super aggressive, like super, super aggressive. Personally, at university, I did some funny course. I don't even know. Like, the name is even scary. Actuarial science. Like, what's that even? So I did. And to be honest, ever since I graduated, I've never used my degree anywhere. Like, nobody has ever asked me for my degree. Anywhere. And I've worked across with amazing brands. Even with the Google gig, nobody asked me about it. But for me, what I do when I go online, I'm very, very intentional with what I do.
Yes.
And okay, you may come to my followership and say, okay, she just has like maybe 600 or 700 people. But for me, it's more about is the quality.
You have those so much of the quality. I see them.
It's about the quality, yes. not the quantity.
Sometimes, like, you're the people who bring LinkedIn to Twitter.
Yeah. So for me, it's more about the quality than the quantity.
Yes.
I'll sit back and say, you know, like right now, Kamala Harris. Mm. How do I get Kamala to follow me? Because for me, I'm more about the quality.
Snap.
And I
Kamala
go big
Harris
on it.
You.
No, no, not yet. No, not yet. I'm just like telling you how yeah. I approach exactly. My digital space. Yes. It's like, I really want to have a lot of quality people, the movers and shakers, the decision makers in my field. I want those are the people that I want to follow me and see what I'm saying. So your followership, especially online on your social media, is not so much about the quantity. Yes. It's about the quality.
The quality that
who is following you? Yes. Who is seeing what you're doing? And most of my opportunities have come from there.
Amazing.
I just keep on tweeting and being a thought leader and whatever.
So yeah. I should just, right now from here, after here, I should just like inbox Google and I get myself.
No, it's not about inboxing. It's like, you understand the space you're in. Like for me, I'm in digital skills and alternative education,
yes.
you know, that is big on skills, not just papers. So I go in and I find, okay, who is leading the debate better at a bigger level than me.
Mm.
So let me give an example. There's this, the youngest minister in Africa. She's called Emma Theophilus. I don't know if you've heard about her.
Not sure.
She's from Namibia and she leads the Ministry of ICT in
Does
Namibia.
She wear a veil or something like that?
No, no, she doesn't. She just wears specs. She's the youngest. She's 23 years, I think, or 24. And she leads the Ministry of ICT. And they're like, okay, she leads ICT in Namibia. She's the youngest. She's a lady. I think I need to connect to her.
Mm.
So it's just, for me, I first take the initiative. I follow the person and then I keep on contributing. If they put up a question, a poll, whatever, I make sure my voice is heard. But then you must also make sure that you're structuring the way you're speaking. It's not regular.
Yes.
So you're,
you're ordinary.
That's IQ that is beyond. That one has tipped the scales.
Yes.
You know, so it's like, who is that? This person who keeps on writing sense and content in my comment, they're like, voila.
Let's go back to 19 something before you enter Uganda.
Yeah.
How did you land into Kampala? And what brings you here?
Yeah. So when I finished my university back then, I just graduated my actuarial science and I was there in Kenya. I'm trying to find a job and I can't. It's like even the market is not ready.
You're done with college, you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm done with college. So it's like I'm trying to find opportunities with it. University degree that I have, but nothing is forthcoming. First of all, the market is not even ready. And then I sat back and I was like, okay, that was back then in 2015. So I'm like, now what else can I do? So I sit back. I look at the Kenyan landscape. At that time, it was just bubbling. The startup space, especially in the digital world, was just coming of age.
Yeah.
But as much as it was coming of age, it had made a step beyond Uganda.
Yes.
I was like, Uganda is the motherland. You know, why is Kenya ahead? Why is the rest of the world ahead in terms of digital skills? Why not the motherland? And that's when I was like, okay.
Let me go back home.
Let me go back and then start from there. So that was just the shift. I was like, first of all, it was selfish reasons. It was like, Kenya, man, I won't make it here.
Yeah,
like, this is a jungle.
Yeah.
Yeah, every man for himself. And, you know, it's a jungle.
And that's what I tell people, that we're blessed. Yes, however much we could say that competition is tight or we may not get so much value because maybe of the trajectory we're having about maybe certain decisions we are making, or expect maybe to have like 10 million of salary upon a project you're thinking about because you know the value it will bring. And you see Uganda will be slow. I always tell people we're lucky that we are doing it fast. We're in a generation which is like just moving the tables, moving the chessboards, the pawns on the chess. And this is what you're, the same thing you're sharing. And I'm grateful. When I met you, we were talking about skills that you're trying to deploy and teach people. Technical, it was bigger than just digital skills. How far did you go with that project?
So the project that you're running with the Innovation Village back then was robust. It was, we were looking at empowering the youths, but the whole array, a school dropout, somebody who finished at P2, P7, S1, a graduate, the one with PhD, like the whole array, because we're thinking, most projects will come in and they're targeting a certain level, and most will require some basic literacy, like you must read and write. So what about those who cannot read and write to remember them? So we decided to bring in a project that would be holistic, target all of them. So we realized that upskill at that point, at that time, could not run it, because remember, there's no way one day I'll be on the platforms, whichever, social media, on TV, I'm speaking about digital skilling. Then tomorrow I come and appear and I'm speaking about technical skills like plumbing and mechanics. I'm going to confuse people, some sort, right? So we decided to create clear-cut departments. So this department will just front this this message.
And I guess you chose digital skills, right?
So for me, because that's my passion, I was like, you know, okay, upskill, because it started, I'm going to make sure that upskill just goes big on digital skills. We have another department which went big on technical vocational, you know, saloon, plumbing, mechanics, whatever. Then the other one went big on refugees. So targeting the most vulnerable.
I think that's the project that we so much need during this period, because it takes me back when my sibling, my young sister, she was still, she's still in campus, and of course I introduced her to these courses. She passed the Google digital marketing skill.
Wow, which one? Fundamentals of marketing.
Yes, she did, and I was so proud of her. But you asked her one question. So first of all, you're not having online classes under by your university. What are those? What are your friends doing? And when you talk about such a project, I'm like, this is an opportunity for such students, and even those who have not even reached university level. Are they? How is it? Is it? Is it still ongoing?
Yeah, it's still ongoing. So I may not speak so much
about
for
it.
The project, because I've not been in touch for long. But what I know, by the time I was leaving, that was back in March, June, around there. That's when it was still going on. But on the social medias, if you check, there are some still activities that are going on. But I'm not really sure if it is still very.
Here we are now at Google. Amazing stuff you're doing. I will let people, first of all, mention your handle so that they follow you and they check out the work you're doing.
Okay. So on Twitter at @Atieno_OJ, capital ONJ, and on LinkedIn, Joy Atieno Otieno. On the rest, Neda Zero.
Not on Snapchat, TikTok.
It's a lot. So the thing about me is I may have all these handles, but most people relate to me. You find out that only two or three are very active. The rest are just for snooping and checking out other people and going to most people, especially on Snapchat, they just have it to go and watch Bad Black. True or false?
True.
So
I said a victim. But so we're seeing a shift with the pandemic causing employment opportunities. Give us a perception, because I have my own religion whereby where I'm coming from, I say that as much as everyone is fronting, you know what, we need to go remote. I think there is something that we are missing, especially in the African setting, that one, we may find people who are not having the skills to use the digital platforms. Two, maybe it could be they are not willing to have a driving force personally because they need a supervisor behind their watch, you understand? And that's the argument I've been having with myself. Please share with me, how do we transform ordinary, the abnormal, I could say, to the new normal?
So, first of all, I always start this conversation by telling young people, even before you start thinking of looking for a job, you need first to consider what is your footprint. what's your digital footprint?
Yes.
Right? Because it comes into play. So when I talk about digital footprint, so to make it just simple, let's say when it rains, you're very hard and there's a lot of mud, then you're walking with your boots or your shoes.
Yes.
So you see those footprints you're leaving.
Yes.
So online, the same way you have a digital footprint, all activities that you do, everything you like, everything you comment, everything you post, everything, whatever you do, it leaves a record behind. 53% of it leaves a record. Now, what most employers do now is that they just go quickly and Ronald Suna on any search engine, whether it's Google or whatever. So all this information will come up. So before you even start thinking about the new normal, you now first to start thinking about what is your digital footprint, right?
Yes.
What is it that when I search your name will come up? Because it has the potential of, it may be fortunately, unfortunately, show who you are, or it may show a misrepresentation of who you are, but it's because of what you have been liking, what you have been commenting, what you have been retweeting, what you have been sharing, the pages that you follow, you understand, the hashtag that you jump on.
Mm.
So all this can be found. And it affects your perception because now that you're going into what people call the new normal, a lot of hiring is happening online.
Mm.
A lot of work is happening online. Long time remote work used to be a bonus. So you hear your colleagues say something like, oh, as we don't have to go to office,
yes,
our work allows a benefit of work. It's no longer a benefit.
Yes.
It's actually the core work,
yes,
remote working. So even the skills required are different, right?
Mm.
So initially people will say, oh, my strength is teamwork, blah, blah. They don't need teamwork. They need people who are able to work in distributed teams.
Yes.
Can you collaborate in a distributed team from wherever you are? So their skills have changed. Now, before even you go to consider skills, you know, first to start thinking critically about your digital footprint.
Yes.
And when you say the digital footprint, it's very easy. So just go on Google and put in your name, Joy Atieno or Ronald Suna, and then everything will come out. Something, maybe your social media handles will come up, some photos. So sometimes you see somebody searches your name, then you go to the images on Google, then some photos. Somebody's like, so how did they know?
Yes.
How is it appearing here? You know, they have picked it from wherever.
Mm.
So on your social media, they have the privacy settings. So third parties like Google can pick if you don't lock, right? If you don't choose, you know, who can see or who can see your friend list, who can share, who can tag you, whatever. If you allow all those to happen, then if these people are not limited, then you can be found out from any other platform. So you consider your digital footprint, right? So once you know you are clean, you're in check, and most people, what they'll do, they'll quickly rush in and try and go and erase everything.
Yes.
We are going into the fifth industrial revolution. You cannot be a millennial and you don't have a digital footprint, right?
Yeah.
First of all, that will be a turnoff to employers. They'll be like, I think you are hiding something. How can we be going into the fifth industrial revolution? And you are 20 something, 30 something, and you say you don't have any sort of digital footprint.
And that's why I was going, because the time that many companies are looking for people who have the skills, you know, to take a project. I was like, what does it mean for a person to be on social media and having a different lifestyle, and those and also being hired, yet he has a conflict of interest? Maybe I don't have to tweet about the company, or I have to live on with my life. Where do you see the gap? What should a person do when they get hired for a job? Like now for you in Google, do you have to only tweet about Google, or should you talk about, maybe, let's say you're a fan of reality series, or football?
Yeah.
Do you have to stop now then tweeting about posting about football?
I know. If you follow me on Twitter, you'll know that actually it's you who, Ronald, the other day you tweeted about Big Brother, and I told you I'm like one of the newbies who started watching Big Brother this season. And if you have followed me, you know that I love Erica.
Yes.
And I retweet her and whatever.
Exactly.
You know, you'll see I talk politics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll talk about Kamala, I'll talk about Uganda, I'll talk, like, I throw it inside there. But what you want to make sure, you just want to exercise wisdom. You understand? There's that point where you always write a post and then you have a debate. When you have that push and pull, even you yourself, you should know you need to trust your intuition.
Mm.
If you want to write something online and then you are feeling like, don't do it, then it just means don't do it.
Yes.
You know, because already you know, your sixth sense is always very, very, very wise. It shows, it tells you, you know, this is going to be offensive.
Mm.
So for me, I always tell people, just exercise wisdom, right? I see a lot of Twitter now. This Twitter has become crazy, man.
Yeah.
It has become crazy. Like the things happening inside there.
Mm.
So it's just like, first of all, just you just have to consider. And for me, I always tell people, it depends with the sector you're trying to go into. Because like the entertainment sector is different. If somebody's trying to be a video vixen, your qualifications for a job will be different from somebody who wants to become like a secretary or something, you understand? So you just need to understand which field are you into. There's no one measure fits all of them. There's nothing like that we can say these are the guidelines. It's all about understanding what are you trying to get into. And then, no matter what you do, I don't think there's a way, like you, Ronald, you're so passionate about digital stuff. And I don't think there's a way you can be online and then in one way or another, it does not come out in whatever you write. That will be like really, really weird. I don't know.
I want to, first of all, let you know, I have friends of mine who are into offices in of state in Uganda and they're handling communication desks. However, when I was still in a public company, that's Capital, I had my bio reading that I'm handling this account. This is my job description. And yeah, it was like, I work from here. So whenever I could tweet, my friends could be like, but how come you put where you work in your bio? I'm like, why wouldn't I? It's like, well, sometimes you may tweet something that people may, you know, they may start now, they may start like
associating as, like you exactly, are speaking for
exactly,
the brand
for on behalf of the company.
Yeah,
I was like, I don't think I may put it under that kind of situation. However, I think it's much more better if at all you put your company handle where you work, your workplace, in your bio, because first of all, you're showing the pride that you having, the association you have with your company, and they were disagreeing, and even up to date, you can see them. There are people who would be like in viral like attacks and tweets, stuff like that, and they are free with it because at the end of the day, the company is not in their bio. What do you have to say about that?
I will say also, like, for there, it just depends on wisdom and what is it that you want to use your handles for. For me personally, because I'm so dynamic in changing where I work, I can be here 6 months, 7 months, 1 year. I think the longest I've done in one place is like 1.5 years, right? And for me personally, I never put where I work in my bio, but I talk about it in whatever I'm tweeting, whatever I'm talking about online, right? I make it people know that, okay, at Upskill, I'm doing this. And then maybe the Upskill tweets will disappear. Then now you see Google is all over her
profile.
What
should be in a bio?
What should be in your bio? Number one, should just be your skill sets. Skill sets in terms of what is it that you do? You know, are you a blogger? Are you an entertainer? Are you a hype master? You know, what are your beliefs that you believe in? I've seen people writing they're Marxist, conservative, you know, communist, whatever. You know, if those was, you know, like, just show what is it that you're good at, your skills, your core skills. Who are you? Are you a project management specialist? Are you a producer, music producer? Are you? So for me, always like, think that's what should be shown there. And then what are your beliefs? What do you believe in? Okay, not as much as Christianity, but if Christian works with you, then put it there. So for me, if you go on my bio, I've written something like project management, youth empowerment, digital activists, and I think I'm remarkable for still something like that, right? So for me, that's what I would put there.
And you
what
think,
is it that will be constant?
And you think like these employees, future employees, employers will be looking out for such things when they are going on your Twitter, your account on social, they'll be looking out for such things.
So, and that's what I'm saying.
Do they qualify you to say?
Yeah, they qualify you. And that's what I'm saying. It's different for everyone. But if you ask me from a point of advice and being in this field for long, you want to give people easy work, you know. Let them come to your profile. This is Ronald Suna. In a snapshot, they can know, okay, Suna is a blogger. Suna has these skills. So like, okay, I want to, that's why he's tweeting this way. So I want to involve them. Let me give you a good example. Why should somebody go on LinkedIn and assume a very professional bio and everything, and then you want to come out from LinkedIn and then go to your other social media and then assume a totally different persona, right? The beauty of consistency. having the same name across all your platforms, having the same professional profile photo across the platform, why would you want to reach social media and then it's a different ball game altogether, yes. Right? So for me, always just say, you yourself, you know your goals, you know your aspirations, you know what you want to achieve, right?
Mm.
But if it's an all size fits all, then just make sure you maintain the same demeanor across.
What? How do I, first of all, because now you're under a program by Google.
Yep.
What are we getting from Google as Uganda is a landmark now, already they're having people like you employed. Yeah. What are you offering to the Ugandans?
Unfortunately, there's no Ugandan office yet as such, yes. Right? So we are working from Hype Collab. We're working from the Innovation Village.
Mm.
So with Uganda, what you're doing right now, we are running 3 projects. We're running Google Digital Skills for Africa online training. Mm-hmm. The trainings used to be offline.
Yes.
Right? But because of the COVID pandemic and whatever, we could wait to sit it out until normalcy comes back. But there's no normal. So we just decided to get going with it. And we have started doing the online training. Then we have the Google My Business.
Mm.
So Google My Business is a free tool that allows SMEs, small business startups, yes, to transition into the e-commerce easily. So you find that with many startups, they were used to the offline logistics of doing their businesses. You know, you open your shop or you do your deliveries from one point to another. But now that one has changed. A lot of people are spending more and more of their time online. So the GMB, what it does, it gives them the search listing such that when people are searching for your business, exactly, using the exact name, they find you. Or if they're searching for you using related terms, like let's say you are Sky's Hotel, right? So if somebody comes to Kampala and they're looking for hotel, they look for like best hotel or with ample parking or Wi-Fi or hot shower. So if they're using also related search terms, they can find you. From search listing, you get Google Map listing. Google Map listing is important because if you're found online, then you must be tracked offline, right? And the beauty is it helps you in giving direction. When I was coming here today, it was very easy for you to just send me a pin. And I know I got lost, but
you're on track.
You're on track. You're on the right road. So Google Map is easy when a customer just wants to come. You know, they have discovered you online, but they want to come there and see, okay, are you legit or, you know, are you... And then they get a free website, right? So this free website is not like fully fledged, but it's what an SME needs to transition. That's the
Google My Business
package. So it has the homepage, the about us, it has gallery, it has contact. So what is needed in a website? Because most of the time you find businesses go and make the website too robust for no reason. You know, you want to incorporate buying options and whatever. But people just really, really need to know, who are you? Where is your contact information? Where are you based? Simple. So the Google My Business. And then the third thing we are running is called I Am Remarkable. Hashtag I Am Remarkable. So I Am Remarkable is targeting women and other underrepresented groups. So the goal behind I Am Remarkable is that we want to encourage people to speak up more openly about their achievements. We live in Africa where modesty is the key. Like, you know, you graduated the other day with a first class degree, but you should not tell people. People should say it. And when they say it, you should downplay it. Like, no, that's nothing. Yeah, exactly. So we are trying to encourage people to speak up more boldly about
I was one of those today. So I have some certificates I got this month from a very high institution, Italy, affiliated with the UN. And I updated my LinkedIn bio to show that I have attained certificates. So I think I did post my Google certificate a year ago when I achieved it.
Yeah.
And I was like, should I also upload this? But no, that would be like, sooner you're over, you know.
And that's the demon. And that's the demon against your progress. Because remember, Suna, I was telling you, when you're online, you never know who is watching. You never know who is following your profile. You know, you need to speak up. And it is not bragging if it is based on facts. You're not bragging. Did you not get the certificate?
I did.
You did. So why are you afraid? You're not bragging. You're just stating the facts, you know? So it's not bragging if it is based on facts. And achievements do not speak for themselves. You see that like a LinkedIn you hid somewhere down there.
Yes.
If nobody goes through your profile,
no one will ever know.
So how do you expect people to know?
I hear you.
You understand?
That's a nice campaign you're
doing. So we're doing that campaign because we realize a lot of young people are not making that progress because they're not speaking more openly about their achievements, right? And nobody's noticing. So you'll go to a meeting, you meet somebody and you're like, hi, my name is Ronald. So what? Yes. What's special about you?
Yes.
So we need to start speaking up about our achievements.
So you think, if at all, like, first of all, amazing projects you're doing with Google. Yeah. I hope sooner you get an office. I see it in Lagos, very rampant. I see they're having things like the YouTube, you name it.
Well, Lagos is on another level. Like, yes. Just, with Google, just don't mention it.
Yes. But I hope we get the same.
We have the first Google garage is actually based in Lagos.
Oh.
Yeah, in entire Africa, okay. Based in Lagos. Yeah.
I see. I hope we get bigger like that again. But I hope we get bigger like that. So yes, I was talking about how people enroll into that participation of, you know, such projects. I think you let us know, you give us a brief, maybe, you know, how people can be part of that affiliation, association. And when things are now changing, work is changing with skills, you could say.
Yeah.
People have lost jobs. First of all, when it comes to also salary cuts.
Yeah.
Do you think every individual should have at least 2 jobs to survive? Because yes, on the economy side, maybe they understand that maybe their finances are down. Mm. But do you think that everyone who is having a job should have more than one job?
Mm.
Do you think so?
So I even want to get rid of the word job.
Mm.
And the concept of work is changing. Initially, people used to think of work as where they go. Work is the office. You're like, I'm going to work.
Yes.
I'm at work. Mm. You're not at work. Work is not where you go. Work is what you do.
Yes.
Right? Work is not where you go. It's what you do. That is what is work. So work is not the building. It's not your desk. It's not where you go. And once we change our mindset to that, especially with this COVID situation, people have been forced to think about what is work. You can't go to the office. You understand? How will you add value to your employer? So we must start by changing our mindset. It's not about a job. It's about doing work efficiently, faster, better, and move on.
Mm.
Right?
I like the moving on part.
Yeah, exactly. Move on.
Yeah.
Exactly. So what you're looking at, what is going to thrive, especially going to this new normal, is what you call the gig economy.
Mm.
The gig economy is where you're not trying to keep down an 8-to-5. You're trying to do work. You're trying to earn money. You're trying to pay your bills and move on with life, right? If you can't find an 8-to-5, then what, right?
Mm.
So once we start thinking about work is not where you go, is what you do. And it's not about a job. It's about doing work faster, better, efficiently, and then you move on. So once young people start embracing that, then you will start seeing the shift, right? In their mindset, in the way they think about work. Because I know it's okay to sit back and mourn about the fond memories of the past when, I used to wake up and I used to go to the office. Oh, and there was free tea and there was free sugar and coffee, you know. But that world is not coming back.
Mm.
We are moving headlong into where even businesses are being affected.
You mentioned that it's not coming back.
It's not coming back.
How certain are you?
It's not coming back.
Mm.
Let me give you the aspect from the business. So businesses initially, because there is that when you become a master of the past, you don't want to move away.
Yes.
So businesses had mastered, you know, people have to come here 8-to-5. They need to sit at their desk doing zero, just waiting for 5 p.m. Mm. Then they stand and go.
Yes.
But the businesses themselves have tasted the honey, the sweetness that is in remote working. They're like, I don't have to pay rent for an office space. I don't have to pay overhead costs like water and electricity. You know, I can work with distributed talent. Like if I need somebody to write a proposal, just quickly pick. So they have also tested it.
You've just mentioned about office spaces, acquiring an office space.
Mm-hmm.
We just went out of office, I think, around April when we saw it coming with my team.
Mm.
But it gets back to business enterprises that have created small offices for people to, you know, use.
Yeah.
Like the Innovation Hub.
Yeah.
And internationally, there is a company called WeWork.
Of course. WeWork.
Yes, exactly. And you know what has happened with WeWork?
I know.
It's so horrible.
Yeah.
And people are no longer subscribing to such, you know, places. Because what should they do? Like,
it's just about changing even the co-working spaces. The co-working spaces may not go out of business completely because a lot of businesses that had rented office spaces, you know, they are now trying to find for a place. I just need a boardroom for 2 hours. I have investors coming in and I can't take them into my bedroom or my sitting room or whatever. Mm. I need a structured boardroom, right? So co-working spaces will be there, but then the model will change,
I
right?
See.
SMEs, the startups have been affected. They don't even have the residual income to come in and pay for working, but they will require those spaces for such meetings. So with co-working spaces, they'll have to really think hard, and it will be around going away from selling space to people and package it somehow. Can you create virtual spaces? Can you create products, other innovative products that you can sell? So the model may not go out, but they'll have to downscale from the grand, beautiful spaces that they had to just limiting it to maybe offering meeting spaces, whatever, you know. Yeah. But then they'll have to really think hard about just being innovative. Is it virtual spaces? Zoom is there, so I don't know what somebody can come up with, but just thinking about it from that perspective. Now that people are working remotely, people still require those kinds of spaces to work with. Are you going into subscription model, you know, so that people pay you upfront per month for a few hours, whether they use it or not, that's upon them, you know. So it will just have to change the way that they do. But I don't think co-working spaces are going to go out, because even people work in remote, people who are working remotely, right? Unless you have really mastered the art of working from home, from your coach or something, there are those instances when you just really need. And even in Uganda here with Umeme, you know, when you're told to, sorry, the way they write the tweet, sorry, exactly. 8 to 5, no power.
Tinder, where?
Exactly. You can either choose to go to work in a cafe, it's too noisy. You can either go to work to in a library, you can't take calls.
Yes.
You can choose. So the co-working space model may not go away, but it will have to be downscaled, downsized, and then the model of business behind it will have to change.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You are sharing a lot of insight. I hope people are learning. also, you are a blueprint to when it comes to don't hold on to the degree you studied. Don't hold on to your education.
Nope.
What does it mean for me who has just graduated in campus to enroll into these opportunities that are available? Does my degree no longer carry that solid, you know, first acquire a degree and then get a job? Should I just go on with this? Should I just dump my degree? What does it mean for people who are just like looking for work and they have their degree as a resume to show that they are qualified for a job?
For me personally, if you ask me, I'll just do away with the degree things, with the certificates, the diplomas, like, you know, with our formal education, the way it is structured, it is just BS, you know. It's total BS.
Don't worry, this is nonsense. Don't worry, this is a podcast.
It's bullshit.
Go on.
So, you find the last time even the curriculum was updated, you are not born.
Yes.
Me and you were not born. So, like, that's what correct. Are we being taught? Who still asks who first saw Mount Kilimanjaro? What bullshit is that? What does it help a kid to know who saw? Like, were there no Africans there to see the Mount Kilimanjaro for Sujui Sars, Sujui who to come? You know, it just really doesn't make sense. You look at the biology, the chemistry we are being taught. What is molarity? What small concept? Where are you even applying it? You know? All you require in life is P7, mathematics, and English. Simple. That's all you require in life. If at all there's anything we are going to pick up in this formal education. Because the majority of the calculations you do out here is either addition or subtraction.
Yes.
A lot of it, when is the last time you did even multiplication or division, right? And the English is normal. Hi, how are you? Blah, blah, blah. You don't go into deeper. So the things that they need to be teaching us, you know, it's innovation, creativity, problem solving, critical thinking. You understand? But those are not happening. The education, and we cannot blame the education system the way it is. It is now upon us young people to understand. And especially if you're planning to be a parent, it's like you need to take the mantle into your hands, like really, really aggressively. The environment does not favor it. So if you want to see that change, then it's you who needs to really, really, really.
So I have to get into practical, you could say practical art, tertiary institutions to gain skills.
And they are not there. Most of them are MOOCs, mass online open courses. That's where you'll get very updated content that resonates with the market. You understand? You can see even in universities, the way they teach computer science, there's no AI. There is no machine learning. There's no data analysis.
Where can I find that?
So all this can happen online. There are so many. Number one, Google Digital Skills profile. There is Open University. There is Udacity. There is Udemy. There is, this one is called what? I'm forgetting it. So those for Open University.
I'm going to list them down below the bio so that people can get to,
Open University, Udemy, Udacity, and the Digital Skills for Africa platform. They're great. And Skillshare.
Yes.
Those five, if you master how to work with them, the better. Because you get all the content there, right?
Wow.
And it's very updated. And you know, I know where we come from, the African context especially, we cannot do away with formal education.
Yes.
You cannot tell people not to go to do a degree.
Mm.
But I tell people, when you go in and you're doing, like, let's say education, at the least, keep your eye out. I know the school curriculum may not keep up with the changes because it's very dynamic thing. As you're doing your course, you'll come out 4 years. The world when you joined in at first year will not be the same world you meet at fourth year when you graduate, right? So you need to keep your eye out what is happening in my field and then develop yourself, self-development. So that by the time you're graduating, yes, you have the degree, but also you are updated in the field that you're in. You see people come out and marketing. They're still being told those things of marketing or buying space on a magazine, on a TV, on a radio. You come out here and somebody's like, huh?
Digital.
Can you write a digital marketing plan? Neda, school did not teach me that.
Yeah.
Can you create a persona for an online customer?
Mm.
You don't know, but that's where marketing has moved. So for us, it's so unfortunate. The millennial generation Y and Z, we have a lot of potential, but then to harness it, we must just take the mantle in our hands. Right. There is nobody to hold our hands.
Mm.
Yeah.
Amazing. A lot of insight. I'm learning so much with Joy. Atieno Otieno, right?
Yeah, Atieno Otieno.
Yeah, and please, as we conclude this podcast, I'd say that I wanted you to share with people how they can enroll into the programs of Google. Now, you've told me you have a space at, you're collaborating with a hub. Is it called the hub? The Hive?
Yeah. Hive Collab and Innovation Village.
Yeah, so how does a person get there? And do they call you? Like, I want to meet Madame Joy.
They can call me, but necessarily they don't have. Because remember, we are talking about remote work, remote opportunities. So we cannot talk about remote and you're not remote. So all these opportunities are online, right? You've seen our page on Twitter, Google Digital Skills for Africa.
Yes.
We update all sessions, all upcoming online sessions.
So they don't have to be physically there.
No. For now, until COVID goes away.
Yes.
I hope so.
You don't think so.
I don't think so, but I hope so.
Yes.
So on our pages, we always update all the sessions, online ones.
Yes.
GMB, we have the GMB page, google.gmb.com, right? You can, for the SMEs that want to be listed, you can go there. And if not, we have partners we work with. So the site is google.africa108.com. You can go in here and request for a call. So you don't have to use your own airtime. So you just go there, you request for a call, and then you're going to
be called. Guys, you're going to find all these URLs just shared.
Yeah.
You may not have jotted them down.
Yeah.
You'll find them below the description of this podcast. But I'm grateful for having Joy. I hope I have her next time when maybe we're expanding into having a YouTube team here.
Yeah.
I have so many questions when it comes to Google. I think it will be another episode. But okay. I think that people have learned how to keep up with the whole, you know, tendency of the changing environment, that they need to acquire their skills in a certain level of, you know, practice. And now the fact that even you've shared the links, they know where to go and run to.
Yeah.
Until next time, it has been a good pleasure of hosting her. Guys, you may also shout out to her. Her handle is Joy.
Atieno Otieno on LinkedIn.
Yes.
And on Twitter at @Atieno_OJ.
Exactly. Hashtag Paratox Podcast. My handle is official at official Suna. You can just mention those two and I'll get a receipt. I'll retweet you. Cheers.